D-Maze, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, and Adam Vingan here with you. Joined on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, by Mitch Light of The Athletic to discuss college football, as we do every Wednesday at 1 o'clock. Mitch, we were talking to Clark Lee earlier in the week. Vanderbilt, a tough loss to Texas at home over the weekend. They're at Auburn, who's under 500, but Auburn is a 7-point favorite at home against Vanderbilt. Are you surprised by that?
No, not really. I think Willie asked me. Sorry, I do a weekly show with Louis Bellina in College Station, so I got my host mixed up there. I'll just call him Louis from now on. Willie asked that question last week, and I think really my guess was like 3.5 or 4 without seeing, you know, the results of last weekend. Auburn's an interesting team. They are, you know, if you like stats, they're better than their record would indicate. I'm looking right now, they're averaging 6.9 yards per play, which is 16th nationally, but they're near the bottom in scoring because they turn the ball over so much. So they have, you know, Peyton Thorne, the quarterback's much maligned. Everything about Auburn this year has been much maligned, but, you know, they've had some games where they just had no business losing and they lost, and they went up to Kentucky and played very well. This is still a very talented team. They've got really good young wide receivers. So I am not surprised that Vanderbilt's an underdog at Auburn.
Have you ever noticed that no one's ever just maligned? They're much maligned.
That's a good point.
It's just, we talked about this a few weeks ago. Nobody's ever gruntled. You're always disgruntled, but you're never just gruntled. I don't even know if gruntled is a word, but everyone's disgruntled.
That's a good point.
Not gruntled, but everybody's much maligned. You're never just maligned. You have to be much maligned. But let's keep it in the SEC, Mitch. Texas squeaks out a win against Vanderbilt. Texas A&M, by ranking, upsets LSU, though I believe Texas A&M was favored in that game.
Yeah.
Alabama thrashes Missouri to get back on the winning track. Ole Miss wins. Tennessee was off last week. So as we what is the state of the SEC in your mind as we enter week 10, and how do you think how do things shake out from here, do you think?
Well, based on the opening clip, you should be pleased because there's
ooh, maximum chaos.
Longtime reporter Adam Vingan, I like maximum chaos.
Yes, I do.
So, and to defend you, we can have chaos without maximum chaos.
That is
true.
Chaos,
although it is a little redundant because the definition of chaos, whatever. I don't need to go down that road.
That's like when people say something is very unique.
Oh, well, I was going to say that before. I hate that.
That's the worst.
When I was your editor for that brief time, if you ever said that, which I knew you wouldn't, I would take out the word very because you cannot be very unique.
Exactly. Please go ahead. I'm sorry.
People are loving us nerd talk about this. So,
yes.
So I would say I wouldn't say there's maximum chaos. I say there's chaos in the SEC just because we're this far in the season and you've got five teams with one loss or less. None of them is Alabama. None of them is Ole Miss, a preseason top 10-ish team. Texas A&M, who not left for dead, but they did not. Not only did they lose at home to Notre Dame, they didn't look good doing so offensively. And that was just a stunning second half. I think we still all think Georgia's probably the best team in the league, asserted their dominance against Texas. I still love Texas' overall talent. I think they showed some weaknesses the past 2 weeks on an offensive line that, if you follow recruiting rankings or NFL draft forecasts, should be one of the best in the country. So there are issues there. You know, LSU has its own problems on both sides of the ball. So I think we're in store for a really fun November, and there are so many possibilities for the two teams that are going to play for the SEC title.
We're talking to Mitch Light, talking college football. Now, Mitch, what is the biggest story in college football this year? Is it obviously Colorado was picked to finish last or almost last in the Big 12, but we see how they've been able to overcome that and they only have two losses, and I think they are second in the Big 12 as they sit right now. Or is it Indiana? Indiana was 3-9 last year. They get a new coach, and all of a sudden you make this turnaround where they're undefeated, and I think they're ranked 13th as we speak now.
Yeah, To me, it's Indiana. Colorado is, as you mentioned, they're 4-1. They are tied for second, tied for third. I think they're definitely a good story. They're a legit good team. I thought, we'll see. If they end up playing for a Big 12 title, then I think we can elevate them up that good story or biggest story. I think it's Indiana. Just coming from a non-traditional program, we've seen other programs make leaps, but the fact that it's Indiana and Kurt Cignetti, who I think, you know, those of us that follow college football, I knew who Kurt Cignetti was, did a great job at James Madison and worked his way up, but was a relative no-name coach, comes in, and I know the schedule hasn't been difficult, but just they have been dominating on both sides of the ball. They found a way to win comfortably last week without Curtis Rourke, their quarterback, former Tennessee quarterback, Taven Jackson, filling in. So I am really excited to watch that the game when they play Ohio State. Yeah, there's a lot of other, you know, good stories. I think Vanderbilt's been a good story nationally. I think Penn State's very intriguing and interesting. They have won every game so far. I was really interested last week to see what would happen in the second half when Drew Aller got hurt and Bo Prubella came in and was very, very good. I think this is the first time I'm picking Penn State to beat Ohio State in many years. So I think if Penn State wins this game this week, Derek, both of those programs, for different reasons, can kind of elevate themselves up in the interesting stories for this season.
Now, UT is coming off a bye week, but they had a huge win versus Alabama. Contrast that to Kentucky. They're reeling, you know, three straight losses. It started with Vanderbilt, then Florida, and obviously they lost to Auburn last week. Is that win, or was that win versus Alabama, sort of a springboard, not for the defense necessarily, but for the offense, what they were able to do, especially in the second half? The first half was, I thought, pretty good. There were shots to be taken. There were plays to be made. Either the quarterback overthrew it or the receivers dropped passes. It seemed like they finally got it all together in the second half, and you saw an explosion from that UT offense.
I thought the first half was sort of an example of quieting the "have people figured Josh Heupel's offense out" narrative, because there were guys open, as you mentioned. And I mean, I can't tell you whether two or three times where Nico just overthrew a receiver. There was plays to be, I think you just said, there were plays to be had they didn't make. In the second half, kind of where the Nico can't get it done quieted that narrative. Now, it was only for a half, and, that's three games in a row where they did not score in the first half, and that's not championship quality football. You can't sustain that over the course of the year. But I think they did answer a lot of questions in the second half. What a way to go into a bye week by, you know, controlling the ball in the second half, playing great football to beat, you know, your hated rival. So, yeah, in Kentucky, on the other hand, not much is going well up there. They're really struggling on offense. I don't think Brock Vandegrift's been healthy all year. You know, Gavin Wimsett, the transfer, the in-state kid who went to Rutgers, comes back. He's not really the answer. Just been a really rough stretch for Mark Stoops. And, you know, this is a series that Tennessee has dominated not for the most part. They've dominated. Kentucky's made them sweat a couple times, you know, recently and been competitive. But if you're looking at two programs right now going in opposite directions, you're a perfect example this week.
Okay, Mitch, let's look at a couple of upset possibilities here. South Carolina, at just a 2.5-point underdog at home, I think they're kind of sneaky good, and they've got the lone undefeated team in the league coming into town. I think that's going to be a pretty intriguing matchup.
Yeah, well, speaking of Louis, I was on the air earlier this week with Louis Blaine at College Station. He was asking me, like, what should we know about South Carolina down here? I was like, they're – defensive line's among the best in the league. And, you know, this year, seemingly more than many, Willie, there's a lot of teams that can say, oh, we could be X and O or so-and-so and one if we made three more plays. Well, South Carolina's in that group. You know, they got manhandled. They got beat badly at home, the Ole Miss. But I think in the coulda, woulda, shoulda, they should have beaten LSU at home, had a couple tough whistles, could have beaten Alabama on the road. They have wins in the SEC on the road of 31-6 and 35-9. Dylan Stewart, their true freshman defensive end, a five-star, is very, very good. They are, you know, Lenora Sellers is fun to watch at quarterback. He's a little mistake-prone, but Rock Sanders, a running back to transfer from Arkansas, is, you know, when healthy, among the best in the league. So this is a very tough spot for Texas A&M coming off the big win, the emotional win. I don't know what LSU – I don't know enough about football to sit here and tell you that LSU just had no clue what to do with Marcel Reed, but To me, they look like they had no clue, like they'd never heard of him, even though he'd started games before. I expect South Carolina will have a better plan for him, assuming he's the quarterback, and make him throw the ball. So I was not surprised that this was such a slight spread. I think South Carolina has a very good chance to win this game.
And with that in mind, like I asked you last week, I think if people are circling South Carolina and saying, well, South Carolina at home, Vanderbilt should take care of that. South Carolina, I think, likely will be favored here against Vanderbilt. Fair to say?
Yeah, I mean, they're three road games, 31-6 at Kentucky, 27-25 loss at Alabama, 35-9 win at Oklahoma. Now, if Vanderbilt goes down and plays really well at Auburn and South Carolina has an offensive
no-show,
lays an egg there, then things can change there. But, you know, the thing that South Carolina has struggled with is turnovers, and that's what Vanderbilt has done well before the Texas game, winning that turnover battle. So as far as matchup goes and strengths and weaknesses, all that could be something that, you know, if teams keep playing like they've been playing, that could go in Vanderbilt's favor. But, yeah, I mean, Vanderbilt isn't good enough to just sit there and say, oh, you know, they have not gotten the respect of the boys in Vegas this year with the spreads, and that's why they have a very good record against the spread. But clearly this team is not talented enough to sit there and say, oh, yeah, they're definitely going to be favored going to Auburn, definitely going to be favored against South Carolina.
They've got to play tight. Arkansas, an improved team playing at home against Ole Miss, who has looked shaky at times. I'm really intrigued about this game with Arkansas playing at home and with, you know, already a win over Tennessee under their belt. What do you think of that matchup?
Yeah, underrated rivalry, just the Houston Nut Bowl. Always fun when these teams have had some chaotic games. You know, this is – we talked a lot about Bobby Petrino in the offseason coming in, and I guess he's behaved. There doesn't seem to be any Bobby Petrino stories floating around. I was really impressed Arkansas going down – because Mississippi State had been playing better with Van Buren, the freshman quarterback. They'd been, you know, putting up some points. But just to go down to Mississippi State, and you win 58-25 on the road against any team this league, you're doing some things really well. They had 673 yards of offense, averaged 10.2 yards per play. That's obviously, you know, going to win you a lot of games doing that. So I like Arkansas in this game. Ole Miss has not been great on the offensive line. They don't seem to be running the ball as well this year. And I'm really interested to see what the chemistry of that team is. When they're not out of the college football playoff, but they already have two losses. They're kind of teetering right now. When you build what you think is a championship roster and it's not going how it's going, when you enter the month of November, I always think it's very interesting to see, you know, how these coaches keep these teams together. So I think it's kind of a big, kind of a culture game for Ole Miss. Obviously a tough place to play.
Mitch Light, college football editor at The Athletic, joining us to discuss the landscape of college football as he does every Wednesday at 1 o'clock. Mitch, I'll let the maximum chaos bit slide. That is true. They are redundant, but it makes for good radio, so I'm just going to stick with it.
Well, your much maligned radio guest is saying goodbye for the week.
All right. Say goodbye, Louie.
Take care, guys.
Thanks, Mitch.
All right.
You look like a Louie, Willie. If your name was Louie, it would fit.
Man, Louie?
Unfortunately,
I'm thinking of Animal House. Louie Delta Donick. House. Louie. We might need to play that song coming back.
Kingsmen. Louie D. So we'll stick with Willie. 615-737-1025. We'll get back into the Titans next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Finnegan, 1025-1063. The game.